eternal purposes and grace, and to come to appreciate the high goals that God has set for His church. And that's something that we've forgotten in today's world, the high goals that God has really set for us in His church. Ephesians 3, 1 through 12, Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have heard of the commission of God's grace that has given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that has given me by the working of His power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace is given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purposes that He has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in Him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in Thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. I did say, because we sang, that my sermon will be shorter. I'll try to be a man of my word. I said I'd try. But worship time is not something that we should be trivial about, or that we should, you know, be held to, you know, how many ticks on a clock. Yet, by the same token, we don't want to be too expansive, so I'll quit that. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, Paul says, "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you." And then he goes on to tell you that what he said in a previous chapter and verse is what he's talking about. So your homework is to go back, and it's on the previous page in your hymnal. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. That is what Paul is addressing here when he says, "For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me, and how the mystery has been made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words." And it was from verses 11 through 22. And if you know Paul, it's probably not in a few words. But essentially, the ministry that Paul was given was not just to the Jews. Paul was a Pharisee's Pharisee. He was the Jews' Jew. He was circumcised on the seventh day. He was trained under the most learned of the Jewish synagogue teachers. He was the most meticulous and stringent enforcer of the law from the Jewish tradition. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all of that, he enforced it. And he was pursuing and persecuting those who were followers of the way. They weren't called Christians yet. Those are the followers of the way, those who were following Jesus Christ, because he saw them as heretical. Well, what happens? You know, when you're headed in the wrong direction, sometimes God intervenes and you have an aha moment. On the road to Damascus, he has an encounter with Jesus Christ himself. Saul. Yes. Saul. Huh? "Why are you persecuting me, Lord?" And to drive home the point, He takes his sight, knocks him off the animal that he's riding, and leaves him in the dust, sightless. Now, to us today, you know, we have so many things for assisting those that are visually handicapped, whether it's Braille or audio things to help them get through life. But in the ancient world, when you were blind and you're on a road to Damascus, out in the middle of nowhere, you are helpless. Talk about a dose of humility. Here, Paul is running. He's got certificates from the temple and the synagogue in Jerusalem to go out and persecute all these Christians. And now he is taken from his lofty perch and dashed onto the ground, not just metaphorically, but physically, literally. And it isn't until some days later where a Christian whom he had been sent to persecute, Jesus appears to that individual, an angel appears to that individual and tells him to go and see Paul. He's still called Saul at that point in time. He becomes Paul. And when he appears, those scales drop from his eyes and now he sees. That is his commission. His commission is to preach the Word of God, the gospel, the good news, not just to the Jews, not just to the followers of the way, but everybody. Because what did Jesus say to his disciples in the very last? He says, go ye into the world and preach my good news, preach my gospel to... I'm sorry, who? So we're going to leave out people who are in Asia? No. We're going to leave out people in Africa? No. South America? People who are in Micronesia? Wherever. There's no place on this created world that we're not given directive to go and preach. But preach what? Not how important I am or how eloquent I am, but to preach what? The good news of Christ Jesus. Paul's ministry was to do what? To preach Christ. And who? And who is Christ? This is the Christ who is crucified for you and me. And everybody else. Oh, no, he didn't. He's a child of Abraham, so it's only for the Jews. No. Everybody. And that's why Paul's ministry so purposely is to the Gentiles as well as the Jew. Peter and the rest of the disciples are spreading, Luke and Matthew and Mark are spreading the gospel, the good news to the Jewish people. But Paul has this particular ministry to go to the Gentiles, everybody else. And he does that, whether it's in Ephesus or Thessalonica or Colossians or Rome itself. Verse 6, that is, the Gentiles have become heirs, members of the same body, shares in the promise that Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, through the gospel. The message on the marquee outside is in Christ. Now, we want Christ in us, in our baptism, and when we receive communion, His body given, His blood shared. You know, John Wesley, at virtually every worship service that he attended and he led, you know what he did? He served communion. Now, as a tradition, we don't as Methodists, because it's been our tradition that we had circuit riders. And the only time you'd have communion was when you had clergy there. So it became one of those in the circuit. So it's kind of a norm for us to do it the first Sunday of each month. But we're under no obligation to do that. It says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me, we're reminded again and again to receive communion, which does what? Infuses in each and every one of us the very real body of Christ given for you and His blood shed for you. For what? So that you're more healthy? So that you're invigorated? So that you receive nutrients? No, so that you have the Spirit of Christ living in you. Why? Because there's so much in the world out there that wants to suck it out of you. Whether it's the slow guy driving in front of you and he doesn't turn his turn signals on and slams on his brake and you almost collide with him. How many times has that happened? Alex, be mindful. Give caution before you turn. Got it? Okay. Just trying to make sure he's awake. But we are given the essence of Jesus Christ each and every time we receive communion for a purpose. We never should make light of it. It should never become trivia or trivial. But we shouldn't be wedded to, oh, we're only going to do that once a month. Well, why? Well, because it'll become too routine if we do it all the time. Excuse me, we've missed the message of communion if the frequency of it makes us think it's anything less. Each and every time we receive communion, it is Christ Jesus, His body given, His blood shed. Never. Never let that be diminished. And of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace. Again, he's saying, it wasn't me that was empowered, it was God's gift of His grace. And what is grace and mercy? It's undeserved. I didn't earn it. I can't do anything to earn it. All I can do is humbly do what I can to live the life that Christ has for me. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? I mean, I think that's become an old hat, right? Because we know we can't get through the first month or so with a New Year's resolution because it falls by the wayside. But here's the thing. If you look in our newsletter, one of the things that I urge us to do is rather than making a New Year's resolution that we may or may not be able to live into, but to earnestly seek to find out what it is in our lives that God wants us to change so that we can be a better servant for Him. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, but it puts Him first. It makes us try to discern where it is that God wants us to be. Although I'm the very least of saints, the grace was given me to bring the Gentiles the news of this boundless riches of Christ. My favorite words in verse 10, so that through the church, the wisdom of God. The key there? So that through whom? The church. Oh, all right. Show of hands. How many of you in here are the church? That means you're a body. You're part of the body of believers of Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? You are the church. Be mindful of that because people are watching. Even some young ones. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that He has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's the peace that, you know, we can all enjoy. Verse 12. In Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in Him. Though I'm not worthy, none of us, by our own merits, we can come into the presence of the Creator of the universe in awe, in wonder, but we can come into the presence of God confident that Jesus Christ has made that possible. And none of us can be excluded or removed from His presence if we've accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord. And in our faith in Him, walk before our Creator God and say, Lord, it's good to be with You. In Christ Jesus. Shalom.